KPCW News Time now, 8:16. Good morning, I'm Leslie Thatcher. Well, the median sales price for the Park City real estate area surpassed the highest prices ever of 2017 last year. Also, 2018, a record year for total dollar volume sales. In the studio to talk about those year-end stats, along with a look ahead for 2019, I have the newly installed president, Sheila Hall, and incoming president, William Winstead. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
Sheila, let's have you introduce yourself to our listeners. Tell us just a little bit about yourself and why this was something you want to do, act as president.
Thanks, Leslie. Good morning. I have been a resident of Park City for about 14 years and began my real estate career here. I've raised my children here, and the real estate community essentially has become my family. I don't have any family in the state of Utah, so I just have a passion for the membership of our association and have enjoyed volunteering within the different committees and being involved with the association and having the understanding that I am so much of a better agent for my clients by being involved with the association. So going through that process and being involved with all the committees, it was just sort of a natural progression to be elected as the board of directors and then the presidency. So I'm super honored. I love serving this community and happy to be here.
Okay, and then William, you'll take over this time next year?
Yes.
Okay. Sheila, any particular goals that you have for the coming year?
My biggest goal for our association is engagement, the membership involvement within the committees and the structures, and understanding what the association can do for them to be better for their clients, so that all the clients see us as top-notch professionals and able to serve them.
Okay. I noticed there was a press release that came out yesterday that the board has hired a new MLS director, Bill Bemis. Have you had one of these before?
Bob Bemis,
Bob
yes.
Bob Bemis, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, we have had some MLS directors, and we just had a little transition. Our last one decided to go back into selling real estate. So the timing of it was just crazy that we are so fortunate to have Bob Bemis. He's so overqualified for our little community, and we're expecting great things out of him.
Okay. Let's see. As I mentioned in the introduction, the median sales price in the Park City area at its highest ever. This is a very generalized statement. I know that because as we've talked before, Park City really a market of microclimates. So when the statement, though, comes out published, I mean that the median sales price on the MLS has surpassed 2007 for the first time since the recession. William, you want to take that? I mean, what does that mean?
Well, it means our economy is strong. We have good sustainability. Prices have gone up this last year. Sales are a little bit lower because of the pricing. But it just means that we have a strong real estate market and a lot of professionals taking care of that.
Well, I think I had read that we also surpassed the total dollar volume sales. So that means that it's just maybe fewer sales but more expensive.
Exactly.
Do you want to add to that in terms of just what that means to you?
I just want to add that you know, we don't have a volatile market. While our prices might be a little bit slightly higher than that previous record, it's been a sustainable increase coming out of the recession. Nothing crazy, no big increases. And, you know, there's definitely no markets that have that. So interest rates definitely make things much more affordable than the pricing was 10 years ago. So we are not seeing subprime lending currently. Believe it or not, it's still an affordable market. And when you have the right real estate agent that can help you understand that even though the sales price is higher, maybe you don't negotiate on the price of the home so much as you negotiate on a credit to buy down points on your mortgage to make your monthly payment more affordable. So
Park City's prices, though, not really an anomaly, I guess, when you compare things nationally. Can you guys put any substance to that?
Pricing by me, do you mean the total sales price number?
Yeah, just supply and demand. I mean, we had heard that numbers are up, you know, supply numbers are up, but demand
is down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. We always follow the national market. We're always just a little bit behind the coastal markets as far as seeing the changes that they see. The National Association of Realtors economist Lawrence Yun is predicting just a slight still increase in the real estate market in the next 3 years. While it's not going to be as much of an increase as the coastal markets have seen. He's still predicting increasing pricing over the next 3 years, just taking it down a notch to like 2 to 3% increases. So just more stable increases on those more volatile markets.
Well, it appears here in the Park City market, our biggest problem is affordability. I mean, does the board, can the board do anything about contributing to the area's affordability? I mean, we certainly know, you know, on the outside looking in, that a 3% commission on a $3 million home is certainly more appetizing to you than a, you know, 3% commission on a $300,000 condo.
And I don't believe that any of the professionals in this association goes after the number. They go after the relationship with the clients, and we want to help our clients achieve their goals. So it's not about the sales price, and we are definitely not motivated to try to get the sales prices up, but we also can't control it. It is not our market to have any influence over the pricing. We just with outside of our control, period.
Yeah. So are there affordable units out there for people?
I would say yes, and one of the things that sort of disturbs me about the year-end statistics is that the average prices and the median prices that are posted, those are the houses that are selling right now. It doesn't mean that every home is worth that, right? And that's your only option to buy a home in this community. I mean, we still have $100,000 condos in Prospector, so it's not that those things have changed that much. So it's not the best option. It's not a single-family home, but not every home is worth $2 million.
Sure. William, you and I had talked briefly about, I mean, if somebody is interested in selling their home, what are some of the things they could be doing now as they kind of consider that?
Well, the first thing I like to add is that they should hire a professional realtor because they know the market, they understand the market, they need to listen to their professional in staging and repairs that need to be done, so that they position their home properly, price-wise, showing-wise, so that it represents the best way the home can be sold and marketed.
Okay. We had also heard people may just want to stay in their houses, though, right? I mean, you're either going to move out of the market, I mean, but to think about building new now, I mean, with construction costs so high.
Well, unlimited lots. I mean, unless you go outside of the Park City area, there's very few lots that you can build on. And unfortunately, the lots that are available are going to be at a high price, so the homes that have to be built are going to be pretty high priced. So new construction is about 30% more than existing. So
our stats last year do show an increase in vacant land sales. And that does reflect the softening of the resale homes. Consumers are just wanting new product. So they're willing to buy the land and try to go through that process of finding the builder and building what they want, which is, it's a painful process, but that's more appealing to some people than buying an existing home.
Okay, guys, anything else you wanted to mention?
No, I think we're good.
Yep, we just appreciate you having us on, and we would like to ask the community to make sure and use a local realtor anytime they have questions because our market is so segmented.
Okay. Sheila and William, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you, Leslie.
Thanks for
making it in here, you guys. It's 8:31 now. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. Well, the Park City Council meeting this week for their annual retreat. On the phone with me to give a preview, I have Park City Community Engagement Manager Linda Jaeger and in studio Budget Operations Manager Jed Briggs. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Linda, the council meets nearly every week. So what's the purpose of setting aside time for a retreat?
Actually, we do this annually. Last year, we also had a mid-year retreat in the summer, but it's a great opportunity to have some real focused time to have some more deep dive discussions on our critical priorities and, you know, just a good check-in. So they've been very productive. We had last year's retreat was actually scheduled in March, so we're a little bit earlier this year, but it's just really been a very helpful opportunity to have some time set aside to focus on where we're at and where we're going.
Okay, you two are scheduled to present on the city's successes. Is that what, from the past year?
Yes, we have a recap of from 2018, so we'll be highlighting successes in a variety of areas, those for our critical priorities, as well as a lot of other projects that are being done by the city that folks may not kind of see every day. So we're excited to share that with the community.
So anything, Jed, that you can point us to in terms of those successes?
Yeah, I think there's so many, you know, things that we're focused on as a city over the course of a year. But some of the, like, the highlights, I would say, is Treasure Hill, having that go through a voter-approved bond with a 78% approval rating, putting $90 million investment in open house or open space and housing. Our sales taxes are up, actually, about 6%. Over last year, so that's kind of showing that our thriving kind of mountain town, our economy is strong. Arts and culture district purchasing acres, 5.25 acres for arts and culture. So there's a lot of things that we could talk about.
Yeah, that 6% sales tax increase, where does that money go? Just into the general fund, or is it bookmarked for...
Typically, I mean, the revenues for sales tax get split out. Some of it goes into the general fund, some of it goes into capital, some of it goes into our transit fund.
Okay. And what I don't see is the We Can Do Better segment. Anything where, I mean, is that not part of this discussion about maybe some of the we didn't do so great here and we need to improve?
You know, I think that's, again, a lot of it will be part of the discussion around each of the priorities. And then we also have on day two, when we're looking at some of our top community priorities, I know especially in the community engagement area, we always look at ways that we can look to improve in communicating with businesses. So, you know, for each of these areas, a key part of the discussion.
Yeah. So how are we measuring success?
You know, so one of the things that we're really focused on this year is coming up with better metrics, especially for the critical and top priorities. And so one of the things that we're really going to be talking about discussing is what are those kind of big time, big, hairy, audacious goals that we're trying to accomplish for these critical priorities. You know, we've had critical priorities for several years now, and a lot of times our retreats tend to ask council, well, what are the critical or what are the priorities that you'd, you know, want to achieve during the year? And then we spend a lot of time kind of crafting those in terms of kind of number of priorities. And this year we're really saying, hey, we feel pretty good with our priorities, and we didn't have any, you know, new elected officials this last year. And so we didn't want to say, hey, let's kind of look at it holistically again. Let's look at the, you know, four critical priorities that we have in our three top priorities and say, what can we do better on these specifically? And let's take a deep dive. So each critical priority is having a two-hour section where we can look at metrics and look at ways to improve. And I think that's the right way to go at this point in time.
Okay. Can you just review those basically for us, the community, the four community critical priorities?
Sure. Housing, energy, transportation, and social equity.
Okay. And those are considered critical in terms of money and staff time spent working on those? Is that how it's defined?
Yeah, I mean, that's how we would... It's we're putting increased effort, increased focus on these four critical priorities, and we're saying this is the things that we want to make sure that we don't mess up, that they could fundamentally change our community if we don't get these things right. So we want to make sure that they are right. And so... you know, you look at something like housing, and we hired Jason Glidden as the housing manager a year or so ago. And that, again, that's kind of the commitment there of having staff time, you know, work and focus on that. But then we're also putting a ton of capital money into housing as well. So it's, you know, all kinds of resources, definitely.
Okay. And then, Linda, the top community priorities, I mean, can you talk a little bit about those? You'll be presenting on one of those.
Sure, yeah. Actually, we narrowed these down at the last retreat to three, community engagement, as I mentioned, and that encompasses both inviting the community to come in and be part of the process, as well as making sure we are sharing news and pertinent messages with the community. So we'll be just checking in and talking about some new things we implemented over the past year, and different ways and different methods that we can employ to continue to improve in that area. Arts and culture, Nate will be presenting on that, and just a bit of an update on where we're going with the Arts and Culture District. And then for citizen well-being, actually I'll toss that to Jed because he's been working on that one as well.
Yeah, so that one, that's not necessarily something that we own as a city, that we've been partnering with Summit County on this, and we'll have Aaron Newman come in to talk to us about mental health in the community and how we're doing on that. And we have put funds into and in helping that effort. And it's one of the things that we think about and that we want to focus on. So that's where we have it. The top priorities have a 30-minute kind of window for an update. The critical priorities are more like deep dive, two-hour discussions to talk about policies and make sure we're going in the right direction.
Okay. In terms of how will the lessons learned from the retreat kind of get the ball rolling on addressing these priorities? I mean, does it inspire any policy action here, or does it?
Yeah, so one of the things that each of the kind of the managers that own the priorities have been asked to do is, what are the like 3 to 5 different policies that you would like council to consider during this time? This is a chance when we talk about, you know, what's the difference between a retreat versus a regular council meeting? It's that chance to kind of assess holistically, to kind of sit back and say, hey, how are we doing on all this stuff? And instead of, you know, the council meetings, they tend to line up and you have to deal with just that one issue at hand. This is, hey, let's take an abstract kind of theoretical view of what housing is and what our role should be in that. And so that's what they're doing is they have all these different policies that are very kind of philosophical in a lot of ways about what we think that the city should be doing or could be doing in these areas.
Okay. Public is welcome to attend, Linda?
Yes, public is absolutely welcome to attend. We will have seating available. We'll be meeting in the community room at the library. We do have a few breaks for closed sessions. Just to give you an update on that, we will be having closed session on Thursday from 3 to 4:30 and optional closed session from 11:15 to 11:45 on Friday. And I believe that's it. So, yeah, we certainly invite the public to come and attend and listen in.
Okay. Again, this is the third floor of the community room, Thursday and Friday, basically 8:30 to 4:30. Well, 8:30 to 3 for the public. And then on Friday from 8:30 to 3, again, with that optional half-hour closed session between 11:15 and 11:45. We should mention also that the issues of energy and transportation will be discussed on Thursday. Housing will be, let me see the top. Oh, housing and social equity be discussed on Friday. Anything else you guys wanted to add?
No, that's it. We certainly invite people out. And then also next week will be Mayor Andy will be giving the state of the city. So that we'll be also talking about a lot of these priorities and looking forward. So that will be at the Santee from 6 to 8 on Tuesday. So we invite the public to come out there as well.
Okay. And Jed, you want to add something? Or?
Oh, I was just going to say, we're not going to do a deep dive on social equity for this retreat. We are working community-wide on that effort, and so we will have the Community Foundation come and kind of give a brief update on that. But that's a big one. It's a big, you know, topic that we're trying to crack, and we're looking at it more as a community gaps analysis, needs assessment, and coming up with a strategic plan.
Okay. Jed Briggs, Linda Jagger, thanks for your time this morning. The second annual Pink Park City charity event returns to Park City Mountain Resort on Saturday, March 23rd. On the phone with details, I have one of the organizers of the event, Diane Tanner, along with Huntsman Cancer Institute event spokesman, Porter Sproul. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, who? I don't have Porter. Who else do I have?
Nope, you have Porter and Diane.
Oh, okay. All right, so Diane, the event has taken place at Vail Resorts for years. I think it was moved to Park City last year?
And and it actually wasn't moved. It still is happening at Vail, and we just added it here in Park City last year.
Okay, so tell us what Pink Park City is.
So Pink Park City is a day, it's a party on the mountain, essentially. It's a day of skiing, events down at the base, all to support cancer research at Huntsman, and it's for all types of cancer. So even though the color is pink, it's just because pink looks great on the mountain and is also just a great way to recognize that it's an event for cancer, but it supports all types of cancer research. Oh. So it's a day of skiing, there's bands, there's all sorts of activities that are going on.
So, Porter, can you be a little more specific? I mean, who has it benefited in the past, these fundraisers?
Absolutely. So when it started, everything started with Pink Veil. Back in 2012 was their first year that they did this. And they started having just a ski day, and they were actually raising money for breast cancer, and that's where the pink kind of comes from. And then eventually, Veil was raising so much money, they decided that they wanted it to benefit more than just breast cancer, because they had so many different cancer patients at their local center there, Shaw Cancer Center. And so when we moved it, or when we adapted that and brought in this pink ski event to Park City, we decided, you know what, we're going to do everything we can to raise money for all different types of cancer research at Huntsman. And so when people sign up on pinkparkcity.com, they're actually able to set up their own fundraising web pages as well that they can share on social media and through emails and things like that. And they can even specify what type of cancer research they would like these funds to go to and support. Some of the really fun activities that we have going on that day that I think is probably, I think Diana will agree with me, one of our favorite ones is the Rally for Hope Parade. And that is towards the end of the day, it's this big ski parade, this big ski down that as a group, we all are skiing down the mountain together. And so when you're looking up from Canyon Village towards the top of the hill, you just start seeing this ski, this stream of pink skiers coming down the mountain. And everyone at the top is told to think of those who they love and care about, who have battled cancer, who are fighting cancer, and about the hope that their efforts through attending this event and fundraising, how their efforts are going to bring them hope. And so we're rallying for hope through this event. On the mountain, there's going to be things like deck parties at a bunch of different locations. So we have Diamonds Direct, a local partner, and Waldorf Astoria, another partner of ours, who are going to be hosting big parties at Red Pine Lodge and at Red Tail Grill on the canyon side of Park City Mountain. They're going to blow it out with like sweets and with photo booths and like cotton candy machines and giveaways and lots of fun activities to be doing. We'll have the University of Utah golf team is going to be there helping us out with one of our chipping contests. We're going to be working with Smart Wool and the North Face in Canyons Village. We're going to have a big fun competition with Smart Wool where we're racing to see who was the fastest to put on an Everest suit, and they'll be the fastest person that North Face will time will win a big prize from their store. So there's just a lot of things going on surrounding this event that it really has just become this huge cancer fighting community, and it all culminates in this big celebration of life on the mountain.
Okay, so essentially, though, it's a ski day with lots of things to do in addition to skiing, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you don't even have to ski if you don't want to. We have lots and lots of activities at the base in Canyons Village for anyone to come and participate in.
Okay. Diane, can you tell us how people can participate?
Yeah, so as Porter mentioned, pinkparkcity.com is our website, and that's how they would sign up. And it's $35 to register for the event, and with that comes all of those events that Porter mentioned, and an ability to, you know, to stop in. There's also ability to start a team. We already have quite a few teams. In fact, we're really excited to see how many people are already signed up and participating, but they can create a team that does fundraising. So that's the purpose of the event, is to raise funds for cancer research. So as people register to come out for a fun day, a fun community building, and also a day of support for those who've been through cancer, going through cancer, and also to remember those who maybe didn't survive their battle with cancer. There's also this way of raising funds to go towards that. And so there's a competition, there's costume competition. So in terms of getting involved, it's just coming out for the day, being dressed in pink and participating in the costume contest. But more importantly, even before that, is raising funds for cancer. And that's the best way. And that's all on the website, pinkparkcity.com. It shows how to register, how to start a fundraising page, how to start a fundraising team, and to go from there.
Okay. How much do you hope to raise?
Well, $150,000 or $1 million. We just as much as we can.
Okay. Is there a deadline to register?
No. So anyone can. We'll even have on-site registration. So if people show up on March 23rd, we'll be able to get them registered and participating in the event day of as well.
Okay. And are you going to be staged then, you said, at Canyons Village side of things? Or?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Oh, you'll notice us right at the top of the gondola leading up from the Cabriolet parking lot. So if you just go up there, you'll just see a huge pink carpet that just walks you right to where you check in or register.
Okay. Anything else you want to mention?
Speaking from the Huntsman side, we're so grateful for everyone who has participated with us last year and this year, and everyone new that we're adding to our ranks of donors and fundraisers and this Pink Park City family, really. I mean, we are seeing mountains and mountains of progress every year made in the fight against cancer, and Huntsman Cancer Institute being a local charity and a local organization, I feel like it's kind of perfect to kind of team up with Park City in this fabulous skiing community. We lead the world in cancer genetics, and so one of our biggest things is learning more about inherited cancers and how to stop cancer from happening and becoming a problem in people before it even fully develops. And we've made a lot of progress over the years, and it's because of people continuing to help us fund the research that we are doing.
And Diane,
thank you.
Yeah, and the other thing I'd like to add too is, you know, being up here in Park City, I just think it is such a fabulous event for the Park City community to be able to get behind. I've met so many people over the last year since we started this up here in Park City who've been touched by cancer, either a family member or a friend. And I just think it is a fabulous way for all of us up here in this community to be able to come together on the mountain. And, you know, what I've learned about Park City is they do love the mountains. They do love skiing. They do love a party. And I think that it's a really great way for the community to come together and, you know, come together to fight this great cause that really impacts so many of us.
Okay. Diane and Porter, thanks for your time this morning.